Wehino amano nailo hino leno, ma sedeno kunu nailo, ma sedeno kunu nailo. Shalom aleichem, baruchim abayim, welcome everyone. It's Be'ezrat Hashem, we are now continuing our shiurim in the awesome story of Rabbi Yosef de la Reina, in his single-handed attempt to rise to a level of such holistic human completeness that he would be able to actually single-handedly take on the Satan, defeat him, and thus force the coming of Mashiach. This story contains within it so many details. For those of you who are familiar with our KosherTorah.com website, you know I began actually writing this story, translating it, commenting on it, and I got about halfway through it when unfortunately other obligations took me in other directions, and I never got back to finishing the written material. Many have asked me, why not? And the answer really is, it's just too involved. I find it much easier in these audio lessons to be able to teach so much more. But maybe someday, if heaven so ordains, maybe these words will be transcribed and put into book form, and we will have a complete English version of this material. Why is this material important? It's a story about a rabbi who lived 500 years ago, and so we're going to see it had a very sad ending. And the answer why this story is so important is because this is not the only time when a rabbi or an individual has endeavored to do this. And this is a lesson, a moral lesson of self-sacrifice, of what each of us have to do in order to, let me use the correct word here, evolve. That's right. We do, in Torah, believe in evolution. Of course, it is not random and haphazard. It's directed. Anybody just reads the original story of creation. Day one, day two, day three, everything is progressive. When you have progressive development, that's what they call evolution. That's just the definition of the word. It's clear in the Bible. I think the only real difference between the secularist and the religious person, of course, is it directed. They say, oh, happen haphazardly, which contradicts the laws of physics and science, mind you, but when people have an agenda, facts tend to be blurred. And don't ever think for a moment that the secular scientific community have no less a religious agenda as do anyone in any religious world view. The secular scientific community has its secular atheistic extremists, as we find similar extremists in Christian, Jewish, Islamic, and other world religions. Everybody's got their agenda, and they will try to bend all the facts to fit it. It's interesting that when we look at what was the controversial science of the day, when Galileo spoke, Copernicus, how the Earth was not the physical center of our universe and solar system, but the sun was the center, the Earth revolved around the Earth. Controversial, they wanted to kill him. We look back and say, how silly, how stupid those people were for not believing them. And we said, primitive, ancient, we don't make those mistakes anymore. And of course that's foolish to think, because just 60, 70 years ago, the top educated scientists of liberal, emancipated, and educated Germany were able to prove through all types of biological means how the Aryan race was superior, how Jews were subhuman, non-homo sapien, and therefore worthy of all of the disgusting atrocities performed on us. Now, we look back and say, shabby science. We look back at those who condemned Galileo, who had proof, of course, that the Earth was the center of the universe, had proof that the Christian religion was true. And we say, shabby science. And so today, look at what our golden calves are today. What science so radically embraces to be absolute truth. And in hundreds of years from now, we will look back and say, more shabby science. This morning, I gave a shiur on the prophecies of Isaiah in the 31st chapter. And I taught it in accordance to the Malbim. To sum it up, he states that the coming of Mashiach is going to be in a supernatural way. And the coming of Mashiach with an army of angels, as it says in Zechariah, is going to be such a shocking experience that the entire world is going to forget all of its differences and they're going to combine together. But yet, the army of Mashiach will so overwhelmingly, almost instantaneously, take control that even before he defeats any government or any army, he's already going to be in control of everything. It's shocking and amazing. But we have so many fantasiacal understandings and insights about spiritual matters. So many people are so focused and concerned upon life in this world that, to use the old Greek example, it is like they stick their face in the corner of a room and all they see is the dark shadow. And they have no idea of what goes on behind them in the greater room, in the other rooms of the house, on the other houses in the street, on the other streets of the kingdom. Indeed, many of us today are like this. We have our own little worlds, our own little fantasies. We ask such what I consider to be timid questions. I remember years ago when I wrote my first small book on the topic of life in outer space, UFOs and Aliens in Light of Torah. It is available as an ebook presently on koshertorah.com. It can be ordered in our online store for those of you who want the full details there. And in it, I quoted from numerous sources. Recently from Rabbi Arya Kaplan of Alav HaShalom and his Hebrew work Morei Or, and from one of the great sages of Europe, a Rabbi Pinchas Horowitz in his Sefer HaBrit, who clearly states that according to the Torah tradition, we believe that there is extraterrestrial life. Life in outer space. Aliens, that's right. Whether the little green men who come down in flying saucers and shoot us with ray guns, I think those are the ones who come from Hollywood, not from outer space, but there's something out there. After I had written this material, there was an essay published in the English newspaper called The Forward out of New York. And in it, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik was asked the question, believe in life in outer space. He quoted a 9th century text, which I don't remember its name at this time, in which he stated that in Genesis chapter 6, where it speaks of the sons of God coming down, taking the daughters of men, that these were humanoid, humanistic, extraterrestrials or aliens or angels who came down to earth. They were totally in human form. When I read that in the foreword, I immediately was suspicious. Now, Rabbi Aaron Soloveitchik at the time lived in Chicago. He was pretty much my neighbor. At the time, I was actually one of the rabbis in the Brisk Yeshiva. I had access to him and his sons, Reb Moshe, Reb Eliyahu. I asked Reb Moshe, and I said, you know, this is what it said in the newspaper. Has your dad been misquoted? I mean, does your dad really believe that? He said, absolutely true. The quote is correct and accurate, and that's what his dad holds. And I said, wow, unfortunately I got that only after I published my material. But there are many rabbis today who say, no such thing as life in outer space. And I say, you know, that contradicts what our sages teach in the Gemara, in the later words, and up until today. And for those rabbanim who want to say, there's no life in outer space, and then the saucer or whatever lands behind them, what are you going to say? I have a psak din that you don't exist. You think if there is life anywhere out there, and a rab says because it doesn't exist that all of a sudden it's not there? You can philosophize all you want. You can make up whatever you want. But in all due respect, a great point that many of us make, when it comes to areas outside of halakha, rabbis have the right to be wrong. You understand that? It's important. Rabbis have the right to be wrong. We express our opinions. No rabbinic opinion about areas outside of Torah begin with the words, Ko Amar Hashem, Thus Saith Hashem. None of them. I am now going to share with you the continuation of Rabbi Yosef de Larina's experience. We're going to talk now about angels. And we're going to learn about angels. And I'm going to intertwine for you a reality of angels with another reality which you've never put the two together. But you should. You must. Because it is a converging reality which is coming quickly upon us. Not for naught has God, that's right, God, directed the unconscious minds of all of these Hollywood producers for decades now to think of stories, write stories, create movies, to put into the minds of almost everybody on earth life, visitation from outer space. Nowhere can we today point to anyone and say, he's an alien, there's his saucer, comes from this planet. Or can we? I guess it really all depends who you ask now. But this is not an issue of philosophy. This is not an issue of personal belief. Other races either do exist or they don't. Let's now turn to Rabbi Yosef de Larina and understand the nature of how Rabbi Pinchas Horowitz spoke in Sefer HaBrit, how Rabbi Arya Kaplan spoke in Sefer Morei Or, and many other sources, many of which, as I said, I quote in my ebook available on koshertorah.com. I'll reference you there for more information. But understand this before I read. As we're about to now discuss angels, I'm going to digress to talk to you about who they are, what they are, something a little bit about their nature, and how we actually realistically communicate with them, and why and how. And I do this because a time is coming where indeed the messianic army of angels will come. And I say to you for sure, with absolute guarantees, it will, when it appears, not be interpreted as the coming of any religious experience. It will be interpreted in the eyes of the nation, in the eyes of all the nations, I should say, as the classical extraterrestrial invasion. You know, kind of thing like you see in Independence Day kind of stuff. And all due respect, what makes you think for an instant it's not going to be just exactly that? Rabbi Yosef had gone through intense rituals to contact Eliyahu HaNavi. Eliyahu HaNavi was taken off of this earth. He was taken to the place where these entities dwell. Now, we often say, well, Eliyahu comes back to earth, and he does this and that mitzvah, and this and that visitation. But did you ever stop and ask, where is he when he's not doing that? What is he doing on his days off kind of thing? You know, when we talk about the spiritual dimension, we have almost like a blank in our minds trying to understand what it is. It is a very popularly held belief today that all spiritual planes, all spiritual dimensions, are completely void of any matter whatsoever. That there's no form and semblance of form whatsoever. In spite of the fact that this contradicts the teachings of our Torah. You can go back into the classical writings of the older Mikubalim, and they all say that Malachim, now remember, the word Malach means a messenger. Rambam and the Zohar. Rambam supposedly the master of all of the rationalists. Zohar master of all the mystics. And yet, these two apparently opposite masters are saying the exact same thing. 10 different races of these messengers. One very different from the other. What is the nature of their difference? I don't know. It's not like I have one here that I can put him into a university lab and analyze him anatomically. I've never taken a chaya, a saraf, and put him through an x-ray machine, taking a tissue sample if there is such a thing. The classical sages say that they're made of bodies of light and air. There are four basic elements: fire, air, water, earth. We humans are said to be made up of all four elements. The angels are, some angels, mind you, of only the two. How does that, you know, get along with the idea of angels being completely non-corporeal? It's not so contradictory as you might think, and I'm going to explain. Eliyahu Navi comes to earth physically, realistically. You could shake his hand, pat him on the back, say a bracha, and have a slice of pizza with him. All right? But then he goes. And it's as if he leaves his body behind. Now, there are ways, and there are ways that you can come to earth. Eliyahu had a physical body. But yet, we are much more than the limitations of our physicality. We have what we call a neshama, a mind, a soul, consciousness, which is the true essence of our being. We know, according to our sages, there is something called reincarnation, which means that the soul, the human soul, can come from body to body, from human body to animal body, to any kind of body. It can be reincarnated in a rock, water, a tree. Do you realize what this means? That the rock has sentient consciousness. That the water is aware and alive. Indeed, Rambam, again, Mr. Rationalist, so-called, I think it was a Mikubal, I wrote an essay on it. The Rambam writes in his Hilchot Yesodei Torah that the earth itself is alive, is conscious, aware of itself, aware of God. That planets are alive, stars are alive. Indeed, when we speak about angels, our sages say clearly that the angels are somehow associated with the stars. That the stars or planets are the souls of the angels. That indeed these angels have hosts, as we're going to learn. So tell me, if a planet is the soul of an angel, what is the body thereof? What are its hosts? Is the host of that angel, it's the inhabitants of that planet? I suggest as a question. You can read Ramban, and you might find an answer to the positive. I have all these, again, sources documented in my written literature on this subject. Therefore, connecting to an angel, connecting to an entity from another world, is there really that much of a difference? Is there a real difference? Now again, as Rabbi Yosef de Larina is going to share with us from his experience, we will learn, in other words, these messengers, let's not call them angels, because when we use the term angel, we're brainwashed, very bluntly. We see in the popular Western secular media how angels have been belittled to be blonde-haired, blue-eyed Norwegian women wearing long white gowns with white, white wings and harps. You know something? These real messengers are described as multi-faced beings, glowing bodies. They don't actually fluctuate solidly in our space-time. They are as otherworldly as you can get. These messengers, I don't think, actually travel here in these flying saucers the way that we see it portrayed in all of the popular media. I don't think that they are necessarily physical in the same way that we are, that they would need an artificial environment, the likes of which we would have in a ship, that they need transport. Now, mind you, these messengers are created beings, as are we. They are older races than we are. Our sages say that the angels, some were created on the second day of creation, others on the fifth day. You can read the scientific writings of the likes of Rabbi Schroeder, Gerald Schroeder, and his Genesis and the Big Bang, who I believe offers a rather valid understanding of how the metaphor of 6 days of creation is understood in the context of 15 billion years of time as we measure it today. So if we're speaking of entities being created on the second day or fifth day of creation, we're talking about races of entities that have been around by our time standard for millions and millions of years. What are they? Did they start off slow like us? Did they evolve? Or are they as they are? Don't say you have the answers, because you just don't. You can speculate. Oh, well, they don't have free choice like we do. Go read Rabbi Pinchas Horowitz and Sefer Brit to understand what that exactly means. Plus, we see that there were fallen angels. We see there's the Satan. Oh, well, they didn't really disobey. Oh, you know something? Go deal with the Midrashim. You're not talking like a scholar when you talk silly things. The whole concept and definition of free will means that they might not have the evolutionary nature that we do. But you can return to Rabbi Horowitz for that. But these entities, as old as they are, as evolved as they are still not God. And therefore, they are not omnipresent. We're going to read here about Rabbi Yosef and his angel. Like Eliyahu Navi, comes on a chariot of fire, horses of fire. What exactly is that? Do you ever stop and think? You really think an angel needs a fiery horse? What is this, a movie? Is this Hollywood? You better start thinking like somebody with a little bit of academic understanding, a little bit of scientific knowledge. You recognize that these entities need some type of chariot and some type of transportation device. And you better start asking the questions. What exactly is going on here? Eliyahu Navi comes to earth in the form of a physical body because he had one. And as we learned in our previous lesson, he takes off his body. He can separate his consciousness from his body using a reality similar to reincarnation, placing his consciousness into an other body, a body of a similar fabric and nature, which is conducive to the domain of those entities who have embraced him and taken him in. That is the same as reincarnation. He's gone from one body to the next. He can do that because they have taught him how, whoever they are. So therefore, let's say for example, that they live on a planet that's definition of life is so radically and comprehensively different from anything that we know and understand. It might be in a different dimension, in one of those dimensional planes which modern science calls the realms of dark matter, concealed to our eyes, but not to theirs. He can take his consciousness and by an act of will project it into a form conducive to that environment. That's where he lives. Call it Gan Eden, call it heaven, call it whatever you want. And then when necessary, his consciousness comes back to earth, reconstructing whatever form he needs to manifest and materialize here on earth. Gee, that's really cool. I would love to talk to Eliyahu Navi. What's his phone number? How do I connect? We learned how that was done in our previous lesson. We are picking up now with Eliyahu giving the final words of instruction to Rabbi Yosef del Arena how to accomplish his task. And his revelations are startling. And what happens next is startling. Eliyahu Navi is teaching, talking, and the people literally are freaking out. Because when you're in the presence of an entity who is multidimensional, you feel the energy of such the soul. And literally, it really unsettles you. So we begin here with the words. Tikach lechem livona zacha lehareach ba. You want to conjure up this angel who's going to direct you? You better have some pure frankincense, kind of like smelling salts, because you are going to be shocked so much out of your regular stability. You're going to need something to revive you. What is this all talking about here? Understand that when you have some close encounter of the third kind for real, not like Steven Spielberg, but like for real, these entities, I assure you, they're not these little green guys. They come from or travel through a dimensional, what we would today call a wormhole. And when these things open and the entire, what we would call heavens and the earth, are merged, there is a shaking of the physical construct of physical matter as we understand it. It's destabilized. And the experience at the physical level is most profound. But Eliyahu was here teaching Rabbi Yosef, if you really want to do this, then you got to go to the source. You got to go to the truth. You have to remember that this Satan who you want to defeat, he's not a human being. He's one of them. He's one of them who rebelled. He has a power, a knowledge, a stretch, a force, an authority, a dominion, far beyond the limitations of planet Earth. And if you think that you're going to be able, as a human being, to rise to such a level, to make such an assault, well, you're going to need a lot of help. I, Eliyahu says, I'm only the smallest of these entities. You better speak to some of the bigger guys. You better go up the chain of command. You better go up the ranks, the authorities, who can each, therefore, point you in the right direction. And therefore, what Eliyahu Navi was doing was telling Rabbi Yosef Delarina how to speak to, if you will, his commanding officer. And Rabbi Yosef was only approaching this angel how to connect to even higher angels. Apparently of different races. Apparently of different knowledge. Apparently of higher ability. It is in essence as if he goes to Eliyahu who is like the sergeant, to call upon the angel who is like the lieutenant, to call upon the angel who is like the captain, so as to give him, Rabbi Yosef, to give Rabbi Yosef, that is, complete, different, further education and training. In ancient Midrashim, we learn how these angels came down to earth. How there was a great war in heaven about the creation of Adam. And how many of the Malachim fought against Adam. And there was enmity against the human race ever since. You go back into the ancient Enochian literature, the Sifrei Chanoch, read about these things. And Rabbi Chaim Vital's commentary to the Zohar, and the Zohar itself. There is a real Star Wars going on. A real battle. Of course there is the singularity of the universe, which is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He is the creator of all universes, all entities, however evolved, however great, however strong, however ancient. God is God above all and in all. That should never, ever be a question. Even if these aliens were to come down and said, we dabbled in human DNA, Mazel Tov. We know that from what happened in the days before the flood. When these entities came down and took human women and polluted the gene pool to such a point where God had to wipe out the entire human race. Alien intervention. Interesting how the conspiracy theories today also claim alien intervention. Wonder if there's a relationship. Eliyahu Navi says, if you want to bring this angel down amongst you, you better be able to handle its presence. Because, you know something? I'm jumping the gun. Let me read the text when we get to it. Then I'll tell you my because. He will give you power to speak. In other words, you're going to be speechless. When you have a real extraterrestrial experience, it's not in your dreams. It's not some boogeyman coming in the middle of the night. The real ones are so... Gosh, I am limited by the words. I don't have words to describe it. The only words I can use really come out of science fiction. An opening of a wormhole, a complete destabilization of physical space, where in which something so absolutely otherworldly comes here. How do you describe that? What words can I possibly use? What words could Rabbi Yosef possibly use? Eliyahu warns him, you better get some strong smelling salts. In those days, they used frankincense. Sniff it deep, because boy, oh boy, you're in for it. Hu yomar lachem et asher ta'asu. This angel is going to teach you what to do. Yantihu ha-shomer ha-derech. This angel is considered the guardian of the path. He is the one who protects the path so some cannot go into the ways of holiness. And he's very well aware of all the shenanigans. And he knows where the forces of evil are strong. And what his power is dependent on. So that you will be able to fight. And Hashem will bless you, if you will, with peace. Now, this is what I was telling you about, a real Star Wars here. We pray. We all know that. We're taught that our prayers go up to heaven. We're taught that there is angels, or a specific angel, who actually escort our prayers to heaven. Now, isn't this nice metaphorical language? Isn't this nice symbolic poetry? Bull, Oni. It is very real, and it's very legitimate. Well, I don't understand. How can that be? How can my prayers actually... I mean, what are they? And who is involved in taking them somewhere? I don't understand. How can this be literal? Now, let's get a little scientific here, and I'll explain. You have a mind. Your mind generates brainwaves. Brainwaves are energy. Energy floats out into the universe. That energy has to be directed. It has to be focused. It has to be gathered. It has to be harnessed. It has to be directed and then projected. You think all that happens automatically by itself? Wrong. There are entities of whatever nature they are, whose job it is to be energy collectors, who gather the psychic vibrations of human consciousness, which we call prayer. Harness it, focus it, direct it, and protect it from being stolen, blemished, or harmed. Compare it, if you will, to a radio broadcast. I am in the studio, and I am broadcasting on the radio. An enemy wants to come by, say if you're in war. What do? They jam your signal so it doesn't get through. So here I am, taking the hill, calling, I need backup, I need backup, I need air support, I need air support. And the enemy is jamming my signal. And all that they hear at the base is, we're not getting through, we don't get the message. That's what happens in Shemayim if our prayers are not sincere. Because it's real energy we're talking about. Real focus. The true Mikubalim of every generation know how to contact these entities. And literally, they collect mentally their psychic focus, all the prayers of Klal Yisrael. That's why whenever we daven, we have a Lashem Yehud that we recite before Tefillah. And we always conclude with the words, B'Shem Kol Yisrael, in the name of all Israel. Or in other words, we are here taking all of our prayers and merging them together. We have many, many Midrashim that speak about people who pray with mumbled words, but no kavanat halev, no intention of the heart, which means that their psychic vibrations that come emanating from their minds are not strong. Their prayers don't ascend. We say that they just stay below. And that psychic static is considered to be like a curse. There's a very famous story that's brought down in Sefer Baal Shem Tov, that in the olden days of Tzvat, there was a great Hacham who on Rosh Hashanah had a dream vision that his entire Beit Knesset that year was going to be destined, everyone's going to die. Why? In the dream it said, because the Beit Knesset, the synagogue, is full of prayers. I thought that was supposed to be. He prayed and fasted and prayed, and they revealed, no, prayers are supposed to ascend to heaven. And because the psychic energy of the people there was so weak that these energy frequencies were not strong enough to get through, then the whole synagogue became polluted with them. And that's why it inverted its energy and became a magnet for destruction. He taught, educated, called the people to tshuva. They did, and Baruch Hashem, the gezerah was nullified. Why? Because by a change of the focus of mind, the energy could be recalibrated and the frequency got through. Mind you, I've just revealed to you the secret of how to really bring Mashiach. So now, Eliyahu HaNavi is telling Rabbi Yosef, you have to get in touch with this angel. He is the one who is in charge of how to make contact. He is the next guy up on the chain. Because he knows the jamming technologies that Sam wants to use. He knows how he's going to try to block you. He knows all of what's behind the scenes, behind the veil. You need to get in touch with him so that he can show you. You can't just learn this from a book. Go back into old Enochian literature and you'll see that it says that Enoch, it says that even in other literature, Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, Rabbi Akiva, they all were taken up to Shemayim, and they were showed all these great secrets of the operations of the universe. What today we would call secrets of technology. They were shown how the universe actually operates by higher, more evolved or more intelligent entities. And that's the secrets that our sages always knew. And what they conceal within the Torah, and what we have before us to learn. Truth. Science. You want it? I'm going to say something really weird. The science is our religion. How can I say that? Oh, it's a contradiction to the Torah. No, it's not. Because science and religion are supposedly going to be the one and the same thing. They are both the pursuit of truth. Not modern science, which is almost like a false religion in its atheistic rejection of anything that it can't grasp. Many rabbis who only understand Pshat, unfortunately, make the same sin. These entities, this race of beings, this one entity who's in charge, and needless to say, most likely has an entire civil service working under him. He's the one who Rabbi Yosef has to connect to, who has to teach him. What does he need to learn now, realistically? That when he goes into prayer, when he goes into his mind, when he is focusing on projecting his mind into these other realms and dimensions, the base of Satan where he needs to, how to recognize other dimensional, other worldly realities, which no human being could possibly imagine. Remember, Rabbi Yosef here didn't watch Steven Spielberg movies. He never heard about flying saucers and little green men. All the more so about multiple parallel dimensions. He never saw the Matrix. He doesn't know this stuff. These entities, therefore, had to teach him. And he had to learn these realities if he was ever to accomplish his mission. Az miyad halach Eliyahu HaNavi ledarko. After embarking and teaching him this, Eliyahu goes on his way, it says. How? Where? As I said, he refocused his mentality and absorbed himself into a different dimensional plane. Think about it like this, if you will. You put on an artificial artificial reality. All right? What do they call it? Virtual reality. Let's say you can put on a virtual reality helmet, which can literally project you inside the program of a computer, similar to the fictional portrayal in the Matrix movies. That's what it's like for an Eliyahu or an angel to come into our physical world. From one side, they're almost like holographic. If our world is just that. But if there's more to it, then they are opening up a wormhole. Well, which is it? This way or that way? The answer is it's both. Because it all depends on what type of entity we're talking about. Eliyahu came and went. It never said that he went on a chariot of fire or horses. He came in through the power of consciousness and now left. This angel, as we will now see, comes in differently. So, it says here, Rabbi Yosef and his Talmidim are now strengthened. They're going to really focus now to call upon this angel. They added holiness upon holiness. They did everything that Eliyahu Hanavi told them to do. They didn't. They did everything, right? They didn't stop anything. Did everything they told them to do. And they studied day and night. They totally divorced their consciousness from anything about this physical world. They only were considering spiritual matters we call Ma'aseh Merkava. They literally were training their minds to divorce from their physical bodies, training their minds to divorce from what we understand as physical reality, and to go into other dimensional realms, which is only accessed for us here and now through consciousness, through what we call the meditative journey. Only through the mind, like I explained earlier, of Eliyahu Navi. It is a form of reincarnation, if you will, while we're still incarnate. Consciousness leaves the body and goes into a different form, in a different realm, to experience it there. And it is as real there for you as it is when you come back here. Rabbi Yosef and his Talmidim had to become fluid in this. Because how else do you expect to attack Sam? Sam's not going to come down to the earth and put on boxing gloves and meet you in Las Vegas. He's in his dimension. He's in his realm. And you want to rise up there? You better know your way around, boy. You better know exactly what you're trying to do. You're not going to get there in a flying saucer. You're not going to zap him with a phaser. His consciousness encompasses so much more. You must learn, therefore, to be a master of conscious strength. This is exactly what they were doing. It says, they were almost completely void of natural physical existence. They didn't feel heat. They didn't feel cold. They didn't feel hunger. Nothing. If you would stick their arm out and light it on fire, they wouldn't feel any pain. They had absolute control. So much so that they actually cultivated control where they could literally neutralize the flame from burning their flesh. How is that possible? Trust me, it is. Did you ever hear of something very common many, many years ago called firewalking? People would light up these burning coals, and then they would train their minds to walk across the burning coals. Now, they did it, and they never got burned. And they said, oh, they never felt pain. Wait a second, it's two different things here. You can hypnotize your mind, no pain, no pain, no pain. I understand that. How do you tell the flesh on your feet, no burn, no burn, no burn? You can convince your mind not to feel the burn, but the burn, which is should be natural. But the mind overcomes that and overwhelms the physical. Subverts it, changes it. In my teachings about Eliyahu Navi, I've taught the prophetic consciousness, the prophetic mind, how mind does work over matter. This was how they were training the traditional teachings of the prophetic school, so that they could become denizens and citizens of the greater universe, to turn their face from out of that little corner and to look into the greater world, to recognize that life in this physical body, it's only one form of many. Right now, as I'm teaching this to you, I'm sitting here in a pair of pants and a shirt. What does that mean to me? Not much. It's hot here. So if they get sweaty, with comfort and with ease, I'll just take them off and put on new ones. Right? We all understand that. That's how easy you should be able to change from one body to the next. And when a true tzaddik passes out of his flesh with this consciousness, it's called the kiss of the Shekhinah. That literally, Hashem says it's time to pass. It's okay. And literally, leaves the body just like you would leave your shirt. Put it behind and go take whatever other form that you're directed to. That is what we cultivate here and now. And we don't go off into philosophical worlds of fantasy. We go to other planets, other worlds, other domains, where there are active civilizations and races of other beings, other entities, some of whom are charged with our direction. Some of whom are considered our older brothers. You read about them in the book of Daniel. They're called the Watchers. I taught about them in my series on Daniel, and I also speak about them in my UFO literature that I've written. If you want more information, I reference you to my sources there. Check them out. Let's go back to our story here. Now that they've finished everything that Eliyahu and Avi, you know, told them they had to do, after Mincha Gedola, midday, Rabbi Yosef and his students, they get up, nitafu betalit tefillin, they put on the talit tefillin, and they're going to pray mincha with pure intent. Remember, I told you the importance of focus of the heart in prayer. This is what they're doing. They are sending out a psychic communication through their prayers, specifically to this angel. They said, Anenu, they fall upon their face in the tefillat apayim, and they rise up and they call out with great power, answer us, O God of the Merkava. The Merkava is the chariot. Remember the great chariot of Ezekiel? Some means of transportation, isn't it? And they do the great invocation of the holy name of 42, which we said was the name used in the creation, the name of the 42 entities who were the vehicles that God commanded in the development. Now, God created the heavens and the earth. We all know that. He did everything. But we also know that He had angels who were involved pretty much fulfilling His commands, doing His work. These are the 42 angels who we speak about in the Anabah Koach prayer, who are now being invoked. And He says, and he called upon them in the name that Eliyahu and Avi taught them. Not mentioned here. I guess there are still secret resonance codes of sound which resonate through the worlds. We call this the language of the angels. We only know it today through the alphabet, or the alphabet of the angels, which we find in Kabbalistic literature.
Yep, it's a whole other language. V'hishpilu malach echad gadol v'norah shitkele ata aleihem. They hereby called upon a specific angel, a great and holy powerful angel, that he should be revealed to them right now. Who? V'kol sayato ha-kadoshim v'koach ha-shemot ha-kadoshim. That this angel and all of his support staff, the holy ones, should come by the power of this holy invocation.
When they finished speaking, the heavens opened. And immediately came this angel, im kol machano, with all of his camp. Vehine, rechev sus, v'suso esh. He comes with a chariot of fire, with horses of fire. Machane gedola, with a great camp. Esh la'ava melea kol ha'aretz, right? And a great fire filling the land. Ra'ash gadol, great noise, if you will, almost like an earthquake. Kol gadol velo yasaf. A lot of noise, a lot of stuff going on. It says very clearly, v'yehered Rabbi Yosef, harada gadola. Rabbi Yosef, he says, is shaking at this vision, right? V'ruach lo nishbar b'kerbo. And his spirit is like breaking from within him and all his students. V'yepilu al p'nehem arza, and they fall on their faces. V'yepagli b'amra adach asatam, and they're like totally freaking out. Yitazeku v'harechu, and they remember what Eliyahu HaNavi said? Take strength, they take this pure frankincense and they sniff it there so as to revive their senses, to see tashiv lehem rucham, to restore their soul. What on earth is happening here? By focusing on this angel, normally our energy goes up. Here, this angel had to come down. The only way that can happen is there had to be some kind of a connection from its dimension to ours. And here it says, the heavens opened. I don't know, what does that mean, the heavens opened? It must have been some type of a wormhole, some type of an interdimensional opening from that realm to ours. And this angel doesn't come flying down on wings. Oh no, he's coming on a chariot with horses of fire? I can't even begin to imagine what exactly that would mean. Now think about this. Do you really think an angel is coming in a chariot, kind of similar to what we see in, you know, the Ben-Hur movies, with horses which are on fire? What on earth is that all about? What kind of environment do they live in, where in which they have horses, and horses which are on fire? Gee, can I take my marshmallows and like barbecue them on them? And my hot dogs? What kind of fire are we talking about? Is it crackling fire, or is it a glowing energy? You see, when you wish to have something like a wormhole, as any scientists will tell you, it requires tremendous amounts of energy. You are actually creating energy fields. What do you think this energy field would look like? Obviously, as a glow, it would make a noise, a hum. And its connection with our environment could destabilize the physical matter around it considerably, causing there to be violent shaking, like there was at Mount Sinai. Noise. It says here, kol gadol, a great noise. It says at Mount Sinai that the voice of the shofar got louder and louder. Did you hear the voice of the shofar? Like a humming whine. That sounds very mechanical, very energy-oriented, but maybe not of any kind of a technology that we can presently conceive of. But this angel just didn't pop out of nowhere. He is obviously traveling in some type of a transportation device. That is clearly what it says here. The nature of that device, I don't know. But for those who wish to say, it's only a metaphor, it's not physical, then why does the angel need to have a metaphor? We all know if the angel is just projecting itself holographically, then poof, it materializes. This is much more than a hologram. This was an actual visitation and encounter, just like was with Eliyahu. Eliyahu, as our Torah story clearly states, was not just taken up to heaven holographically, metaphorically, symbolically. Oh no, he was taken there quite physically. And he's not the only one. We know about the four who went up to Pardes, went up and came down. We read about Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, who also made a similar trip. And other sages who have disappeared. Some come back and some don't. But this time, instead of us going up, this one came down. Clearly, in a very realistic form and manner.
V'ya'an ha'malach et Rabbi Yosef v'marlo. Now the angel has come to teach Rabbi Yosef, and he says, Halo devarecha tovim v'nuchuchim. What you want is all right. Okay? He already knows, because this angel exists in a dimension where thoughts are things. Remember, that's his job, to gather these thoughts. He pretty much knows everything that's within Rabbi Yosef's mind. V'mi yiten shomea lecha, v'hi Elokim imecha. It should only be that your prayer should be heard and that God should be with you. Ki kol chemdat hamon kodeshim. All of the heavenly hosts, the holy ones, the Seraphim, the Ar-Alim, all of these different races of entities which we call messengers or angels, the Kol Machanot Kodeshim, and all the different camps of holiness, Yoshvim, are sitting, the Mitzapim, and waiting, Matai Yavo Nakamat Hashem Elokim, when will the judgment of the Lord God come, the Kimat Shechinat Kudshenu, and the rising up of our Shechinah, Asher Avanot Mushpalot Ad Gedolot Tachtiot, until it's, everything is says Ad Golot Tachtiot. How is it that our sins have caused it to be such a terrible exile? So you see, all these heavenly camps, they're also in the middle of this war. They're also powerless, weakened, because humanity's energy has been stifled, and that stifles them. We have natural allies in this great Star Wars. They are not metaphysical. They are not metaphorical. They are quite real. As Rab Soloveitchik taught, how they came down in Genesis 6, quoting from earlier sources, what I told you, the classical Kabbalah. According to him, they're actually physical like we are. I can actually reference sources which state that there might be intelligent humanoid life who might be one of these messenger races. Maybe that's why one group of these angels are called the Ishim, the men. I am contemplating it. I think it. I've written about it. Until one of them comes down here and stands within our midst and say, Hi, my name is so-and-so. I come from planet so-and-so. I am one of the messengers of the Creator. Well, then we could take him and examine him and find out what he is and what he isn't. Maybe we'll find that humanoid life is not only indigenous to Earth, but it exists elsewhere, as some of our sages have indicated before us. But neither here nor there. We are in a much greater universe, in a much greater world. And we humans have such an importance, an ability, a power, an ability far beyond that of mortal men, quoting Superman. But we are, in essence, superhumans. If and when we unleash that power within us to accomplish. I'm looking here at the time, and we've kind of run out of time for this class. I only have gotten through half the material that I wanted to at this time, but I believe I've covered the important points. We'll conclude, God be willing, in our next class about the instructions that the angel gives to Rabbi Yosef. But what's important for you to understand is the extraterrestrial nature of these entities. And I offer you to contemplate, what exactly are they? Who exactly are they? They are very close. I promise you that an extraterrestrial entity is in your presence at this very moment. You heard it right. I said that as a promise. Because the book of Daniel speaks of these watchers, these higher races of beings whose job it is to watch over us. They are. The day will come when they will reveal themselves, which for them, I guess, is as simple as clicking a button. So when the angelic army of Mashiach comes, it's not like all of a sudden you're going to look into the sky over Jerusalem and see this armada coming down. Oh, no. It's going to be at the snap of a fingers, and everywhere you look, they're just going to appear, because they're going to be there, because they're already here. And there is a war going on around us. We refer to it religiously as the Yetzer HaTov and the Yetzer HaRa, but you go into the ancient literature in the Zohar too, states that these are real entities. You might have seen in the movies how they have like a little angel sitting on your right shoulder and a little devil sitting on the left. Well, I don't want you to get paranoid. Certainly don't want you to get hallucinatory and to fantasize. We are not alone. We have never been alone. And if you are going to be so foolish and so stupid to think, oh, there's a devil there, oh, he's going to get me, then at least be smart enough to realize that there's also an angel there who is there to, if you will, protect you. And how do you attract one and not the other? It's all in your mind. That's right. When your mind is bonded to holiness, the other entity is magnetically repelled from you. And when you think of Kedusha, you magnetically attract that entity. That's religion, right? Let me tell you something funny. I recorded this again in my book on the UFOs and aliens. And you can read the original source material there. But when I was preparing that material, I remember reading a story in one of the UFO magazines. It was entitled, How to Stop a Negative, Alien Abduction. Now, I'm not a smart man. I admit that. I always thought that if an alien is going to come and get you, it's, kind of like, in Star Trek, the Klingon's going to use his beaming technology. He's going to come into my room. He's going to zap me with a phaser and beam me back up to his Klingon warship or something similar. This article says the way you stop a negative alien encounter is with what? A ray gun? A baseball bat? Whack the angel on the head maybe? Or the extraterrestrial on the head? How do I stop it? And they said that the way that they've shown this article, this UFO magazine, all right, not a religious source, nothing. Pray to God. Read Psalms. And apparently these negative entities are repelled by it. And I wrote there, and I tell you now, quoting the Gemara, Salka Datach, means, you've exposed yourself now. We know who you are. You are those negative entities. Because if you are rejected and repelled by thoughts of holiness, then we see and know who you are. So if anybody's having any spooky experiences, this is why the sages in the Gemara said before you go to bed at night, Shema Yisrael. Read Psalm 91. By focusing your mind on holiness, you are walking in the path, the good path of Rabbi Yosef de Larina. The good path of Rabbi Akiva, the good path of Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, the good path of Chanoch ben Yared, and I might add, in the good path of Rabbi Meir Bala Nes, on whose night, this night is his yardsite, his hashkabah, his hilula, and in his merit, in his sechut, we call Anenu Elokei Rabbi Meir, answer us, O God of Rabbi Meir. Because he is another master who knew these secrets, as did his teacher, Elisha Acher, who unfortunately looked around, but his mind was not clear and was blemished. We must learn to be of pure mind. How? Follow Rebbe Meir's advice. Olse lo lishma, shema yavo lishma. Do the right things. Doesn't matter what you believe. Do the right things even for the wrong reasons. Because the right form will create the right resonance and frequency, which will bring you to the right mental construct, which will bring you to the right connection. Teachings of Rabbi Meir, teachings of the Maase Merkava, teachings of Rabbi Yosef de Larina, Pshat and Sod. Gee, how funny it is that it all comes back together. We live in a much greater world. There is so much going on around us. Don't let it frighten you. Don't let it spook you out. And please, don't get paranoid about it. It's been going on for thousands of years, possibly millions. That's right. And you know something? Our job, we have a physical brain that enables us, thank God, to focus in this world. The Gemara itself, Masechet Brachot, said, thank God we don't have the eyes to see the other world. We'd all go nuts. Couldn't focus on what we need to do. Focus on this world. Focus here. This is why Rabbi Yosef and his Talmidim had to work so hard to focus there. That was their job. Our job is to focus here. And to let this angel who we're speaking of and the others around to do their jobs. We do ours, and they do theirs. And maybe we help those other entities in these other domains, each to do their job when we do ours, to help bring Mashiach. On that note then, Be'ezrat Hashem, let's conclude. And we will pick up in our next lesson the teachings of the angel to Rabbi Yosef de Larina and his further adventures. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen. Ve'amen.